Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter. As soon as Jesus and the disciples left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. Then he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't know if you've ever bought anything at IKEA. It's a big store with all kinds of stuff, but maybe some cabinet or piece of furniture or something else. Morales and I have bought a couple, including the one that our TV sits on at home that's got three drawers under it for DVDs and even VHS tapes. Yes, there was a time that there were such things. Some of you remember them. But IKEA got to be a joke because of the assembly required, and so you always have to put things together. I got one in the email this week, a picture of a heap of Scrabble tiles, you know, that game where you make words with little wooden squares. So this whole pile of Scrabble tiles, and the caption was, "I bought a book at IKEA." The joke is the expectation you'd have to put it together using all those letters. But IKEA has impressed me with the accuracy and the simplicity of the directions that come with it. You just follow them and it's easy to put everything together. The images are so clear and accurate. Well, I say that because, you know, in the Bible it says one place, be imitators of God as beloved children. Another place it says that Christ is the image of the invisible God. So you get images. That's a way to get things done. And today we see in the gospel reading four snapshots. Four snapshots of the ministry of Jesus. Four connected scenes. We see Jesus healing. And then we see the result of that healing in what Peter's mother-in-law does. Then we find him in a quiet, private place of prayer. And then we see him ready to head out to see other people, to proclaim the gospel in other places. Having just left the synagogue, where he cast out the unclean spirit, last week's gospel, he and his disciples go to the home of Simon and Andrew, and Simon's mother-in-law is down with a fever. So he goes, takes her by the hand, and the fever leaves her. Now, I think the best-known stories about Jesus are the ones surrounding Christmas and Easter, his birth and his death and resurrection. But in the days of his ministry, we see him as a miracle worker, a teacher, and yes, a healer. There's a hymn line that says, "He made the lame to run, he gave the blind their sight." And this text says, "They brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and he cured many who were sick and cast out many demons." Jesus responding to the needs of people. All the way from casting out demons to bringing recovery from fever, as one other story has it, to providing wine for a marriage feast. But not in every case. Maybe in that gospel you caught that little distinction, they brought to him all, and he cured many. Later in the text, when the disciples find him, they say, "Everyone is looking for you." We'll say more about that later, but for the moment, we see the healing, and with it, restoration to full participation in normal daily life. Then Jesus leaves the party, so to speak, The disciples find him in a private place, but he's not going back to where he's being searched for, where people want to see him. Instead, he invites the disciples to go with him to towns where he is determined, where he is commissioned to preach the good news. Now, I'm going to say that all this has something to do with us. Yes, friends, I am. You are in the picture. I spoke about images, and I'm sure you have found images helpful. As you know, you can learn most anything by going online and watching YouTube or something, give it, somebody does a demonstration about it. But even before that, you learned by watching somebody else, whether it was baking or quilting or building or something else. Just so I see this gospel meeting as being something about you, about us, because it tells us who Jesus was and it tells us who we are. About our life as the church. We play a variety of parts. These images touch us. There's a hymn that says, "Come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore." That hymn, like many others, reminds us of our need. Last week I spoke about the demons in us, the demons in our world today. Today we're reminded that in the presence of Christ we are forgiven. We are restored. We are healed. And as that is our identity, that becomes also our task. It's an image of the church. And so it is that we have chaplains in the military and chaplains in prisons. Recognized congregations, actually. In prisons, I know in South Dakota and Colorado, and I'm sure in other places. In other words, in many settings, in many places, we are touching people who need healing. Restoration is an image of the church. But just as in the gospel text, it doesn't end there. The fact that we have been restored, Simon's mother-in-law served them. I've heard people grumble about that. Oh, yeah. The guys can't do it, they can't get lunch, so she has to get up and do it, even though she's just coming from a sick bed. Stereotype about women's work. But there's another way to read it. Because the word for serve here, when it says she served them, is a form of that Greek word diakonia. The same word Jesus used when he said the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. For Simon's mother-in-law and for us, what we do as people who have been restored is we serve. And so seen in that way, this woman is not a symbol of an oppressed gender. Sorry about that, women. But an illustration of discipleship. That's what disciples are expected to do. An image of the church, people restored that we might serve. There's another hymn that has a line that says, let the servant church arise. A caring church that longs to be a partner in Christ's sacrifice and clothed in Christ's humanity. And yes, friends, that is true. We can look across the world, or we can look at Johnson County and Buffalo and see a servant church. Here there is the Bread of Life food pantry, Samaritan Purse, Friends Feeding Friends, Habitat for Humanity, and more. Denominational appeals to feed the hungry in virtually every church. Hospitals, centers of care for the elderly, the addicted, and the dying. And a great many of those things, hospitals and hospices and others, were founded by and are rooted in the nature of the church. And that says nothing. There's a lot more we can say about the quilts and the mittens and many other things produced in church basements and fellowship halls by the active hands and hearts of church members who gather to serve in that way. Being a servant means caring about others, and it can be as simple and basic as wearing a mask during a pandemic. One time, Marlis and I and two other adults were taking two vans full of teenagers from Aberdeen, South Dakota, to a national youth gathering in San Antonio. About 60 miles into that trip, one of the engines stopped. The van suddenly lost power. Turned out it was a faulty fuel gauge, and we were out of gas. the tank was not full as we thought when we started. Fuel, it turns out, is a very important resource for a long trip. And the same is true for the life of the church. In the Gospels, in this text, we see Jesus finding quiet times for prayer, for thought, for relationship with his Father. Not only at times of crisis, as in the Garden of Gethsemane, but today, probably just because he's weary after a time of healing and teaching in the synagogue, and after all these healings in the village. Also, when he simply wanted to be in communication with the Father, time to refuel. And this also, friends, is an image of the church. An image of the church. That's why we're here today. It's why in hymns and prayer and scripture and preaching, in what has been called the mutual consolation of the saints, we feel renewed and closer to God. Maybe simply in quiet moments, maybe in regular times of meditation, Bible reading, or prayer, maybe in the singing or simply humming of a familiar hymn, in whatever form. Each of us knows of times and things that have filled and fueled us, connecting us again to the source of our faith and strength, as did Jesus. But then the disciples find him. There is more to be done in Capernaum because there are still people to be healed there, more to give attention to his teaching. They say, everyone is searching for you. It's not going to happen. It is not going to happen, not then. Years after I graduated from seminary, the seminary adopted a new kind of slogan, a motto, where learning leads to mission. Today I can tell you that the outcome of being restored, of becoming a servant, of being in relationship with God is mission. The grace of God that has enriched our lives, the servant ventures that lead us to look beyond ourselves, the time of being in touch with God and gaining God's perspective on us, the world, and our neighbors. All of that stuff leads to mission, a desire to share in words and in action what God has done. And I should say these things aren't sequential, though I think it does start with knowing how we have been touched by grace. It does start with the awareness of restoration. But the others happen in any order, and simply because, yes, they become, yes, images of what the church is and is called to be. You've heard some of the shorthand. As Christians, we are blessed to be a blessing. We are saved to serve and others. But behind each of them is the love of God. Behind each of them, the compassion of Christ, but behind all of them, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Because like this text, they tell us who God is, what Jesus was about in the world, and they inspire us to become images, reflections of that, so that our identity is lived out in the world today.